Graham was, I asked him to play this for me because he always transposes, but the Lord knows, and he promised he'd never leave us alone. So. May I introduce you to this friend of mine who hangs out the stars, tells the sun when to shine, and kisses the flowers each morning with dew. But he's not too busy to care about you, 'cause we have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. You just consider the lilies, and then you will know. Consider the lilies, they don't toil nor spin, and there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrow, they don't plant nor sow, but is fed by our Father who watches them grow. 'Cause we have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. You just consider the lilies, and then you will know. I introduce you to this friend of mine. He hangs out the stars, he tells the sun when to shine, and he kisses the flowers each morning with dew. But remember, he's not too busy to care about you, 'cause we have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know.
I want to speak a little more about that Father today. Shall we turn to the 20th chapter of John? John chapter 20. Let's begin with verse 16, a very familiar portion of Scripture after the resurrection. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her. I want to speak this morning on revelations from the Father. We will see that presently. But the first thing that I want to notice here is that Jesus wanted the disciples to have the same relationship with the Father that he did. And so as we read here in this verse, I ascend to my Father and to your Father. Jesus is our example of what it means for God the very God of the universe to be my Father. He knew what he was talking about when he said, I ascend to my Father. He knew all about him, but he also wants us to know all about him and to experience the same thing with the Father that Jesus did. There are some that would actually deny such a thing. Oh, you can never know God as Father the way Jesus did. You can never be in his presence in that matter. But the scripture says we can. And Jesus exhorted exactly the same thing. The first recorded knowledge that we have of Jesus knowing his Father was at the age of 12. You remember, of course, they were at the Passover and his parents left, assuming that he was in the entourage. And about 3 days out, they found, no, he wasn't. And so they came back and they did find him in the temple. And when they found him and wondered about it, and as Jesus responded to them, again, he was 12 years old at this time. What, did you not know? I must be about my Father's business. At the age of 12, he knew who his Father was, and indeed he must be about his business. It is so important to point out here that Scripture is very plain. After that, Jesus went down and he was subject to his parents. Understand, that's a part of his Father's business too. You see, my Father's business includes a great number of things, as Jesus said here. Matthew 7 gives us the first record of Jesus speaking this glorious truth to the congregation or publicly about Jesus, about God being the Father. He said it this way, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And so this was the Sermon on the Mount. Very early in his ministry, Jesus was trying to introduce men to the very fatherhood of God. There were many of them at that time that did not get it. There are many of our day, I fear, that are not getting it either. And so it is very important that we take that place, that we know how to take that place, and that we take the initiative to understand, to know, and to claim God as my Father. There are a great many roles that God does fill as a Father. For example, my Father is a provider. As Jesus said again in the Sermon on the Mount, he knows what you have need. The Father knows what you have need of even before you ask. My Father is a protector. Number of places that we find that, but one in particular is John 17, when he prayed that he would not take these out of the world, but keep them. That means guard them from the evil. Then we find my Father gives good gifts. And James says every good gift and every perfect gift has come down from the Father of lights. But I noticed that Romans 8:32, that wonderful verse that we often claim, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Notice, he that spared not his own son. It's the Father that will freely give us all things. And he brought about redemption in order that he might accomplish that very thing in order to give us all of these marvelous and good gifts that we have. Once again, as James says, he's the Father of lights. Those lights are us. That means that the Father has given light to us because light comes from him. And so he indeed has given, imparted, indeed that light unto us. In this particular message, I only want to pursue one avenue of who the Father is, and thus the title, Revelations from the Father. It means we must learn from the Father. We must be taught by the Father. We must receive these lessons and information, direction from the Father. And as we have already noted, Jesus is the example of that. Let us turn to the fifth chapter of John. Jesus instructs us by his own life, by his own actions, how to claim, how to appropriate, how to enter into this wonderful relationship that he is my Father. Keep in mind, as he said there in John 20, I ascend to my Father and your Father. And so we must follow exactly the same example that he set before us. John 5:20, we read these wonderful words. For the Father loveth the Son. That's the first lesson we learn about the Father. The Father loveth the Son. I am greatly grieved by a number of people, Christian people, some even filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, that do not, and they really take exception. They are very adamant against the teaching of eternal life. Men can never understand the teaching of eternal life if they do not understand the love of the Father. It is imperative. I want to notice that really the rest of this message hinges, it depends on these words, the Father loveth the Son. When we understand that, everything else emanates from that divine love. And it's not just the love of the God. It's not just the love of someone. It is the love of a Father, a very close and intimate relationship that we are to have with him. The Father loveth the Son. When we understand that, we also understand that gives way to the next part of this verse. The Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things. All of these marvelous benefits and blessings we have that God gives unto us, they are imparted directly because of this unbounded love of the Father. It's just impossible to measure such unbounded love, but the fact is we can be recipients of it. And so he shows that love, he proves that love, he manifests that love by showing, as we read here, showing him all things that himself doeth. All things, that means it's just limitless. You can't name anything that is not included in these all things that himself doeth. That simply indicates all of those things that are the very purpose of God. All of the things, the intentions of God. All of these works of God. And I want to divide that into two categories. It indicates all the purposes and intents he has for my life as a person. He will show me all those things that are associated or that apply to me in my own personal life. And there are many things in our lives that we may not always understand, but there will come a time, it is as according to the scripture, he will show him all things that himself doeth. And then, of course, we can understand all things that he does insofar as this world is concerned, insofar as the nations are concerned, insofar as all of God's intent for anything in regard to the end time and things of these nature. The Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. What a glorious and wonderful statement that is. Turn to John 8. See some more wonderful things that the Father does, or that we can experience, that we can enjoy when we know Him as the Father. Down to verse 25. Then said they unto Him, Who art thou? This, of course, again, the Pharisees and those who questioned Him, those who heard His teachings, those who had absolutely no clue or idea what it meant to experience God as the Father, but Jesus was ever trying to persuade them and to instruct them and to induce them to lay hold of this glorious truth. And so they said to Him, Who art thou? Jesus saith unto him, Even the same, notice, that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. But this is what Jesus was trying to tell them. He had spoken unto them of these things concerning him and the Father, and of course, things that concern them too. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, and he's talking about here when you've lifted him up on the cross, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he. And here's the key. I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. I want to enlarge on the order that we are talking about here. You will notice that the subject, once again, is the Father. They understood not that he was talking about the Father, but he again reinforced and introduced that to them. And so, as my Father hath taught me, then I speak. This is the same order that we must have in our lives. The only way that we can speak is if the Father has taught me. Only that which I have learned of Him am I able to pass on unto other people. And so Jesus says, as the Father hath taught me, these are the things that I speak. They were not things that he conjured up out of his own mind and his heart. I can do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. In order for this to come to pass in our lives, we too must be a willing student. We must be listening unto him. I want to issue somewhat of a word of caution. We have spoken many times that God is able and God does speak to the hearts of people. Ministers especially should understand they must listen to him in order to speak, following exactly the same pattern that we find here. But I want to issue a word of caution. We are not to try to convince anyone that this message came from God. That remains with the hearer. It's the hearer that must determine whether this message is from God. Now, here is the measuring stick. Every one of us must measure what we hear from others with God's word. Because He will never teach me anything that is contrary to His word. But mark this well. If it's contrary to the word of God, it didn't come from God. Regardless of how men say, you better listen to this because I got it directly from God. You see, the word of God is the determining factor, and we must measure that. Well, Jesus certainly was speaking from God. And everything that he said, everything he did, eventually would be proven. And so he said it here. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you're going to know that I am who I said I was. And that is exactly what happened. And so we must indeed speak truth. We can only speak truth. We can only speak what he has indeed given unto us. And so as we read here, I have many things to say and to judge of you, verse 26. But he that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Again, verse 28. When you've lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am he. I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. We must be taught of God. As my Father has taught me. We will not turn to this one, but be sure and make a reference to it. You know it well. It's Hebrews 5:8. Jesus said it this way. Though he were a son, speaking of Christ as being a son of the Father, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Let us understand, if we are going to be true sons of God, if God is to be my Father, I must submit to exactly the same thing and learn by such obedience of the things that he suffered. Hebrews 12:6 is instruction for us in this matter. Whom the Lord loveth. Remember, the Father loveth the Son. I say everything that we have in this message in our lives hinges on that glorious truth, that glorious thought, the Father loveth the Son. And we can apply it in a very personal way in our own lives, in going through things that God is trying to teach us, or through which he is trying to teach us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. There are those in this world who believe that when things happen to you, God is punishing you for something you did wrong. Chastening is not punishment. Chastening is simply instruction. Chastening is correction. And oftentimes God has to use certain measures because we may be headed in a wrong path, and my Father loves the Son so much he would correct that if he were given the opportunity to do so. And so we too, like Jesus, learn by the things which we suffer. He learned obedience, submission, complete and total submission unto the will of God by the things that he suffered. I want to emphasize there is no substitute for this lesson. If we are truly going to come to that place where we know that he is my Father. Let us close with the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Luke 10. Jesus said this in John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, and you can find those prophets really as being especially Isaiah and Jeremiah. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. The lessons from the Father bring us to Christ. Jesus himself fills different roles. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is an instructor. Jesus is a leader. He is called by many different titles. The same principle applies. I want to emphasize that Jesus is not just talking about salvation. He is talking about an entire relationship of being brought to Jesus, a full relationship. And so he that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Do you know that if we are instructed and learn in the depths of things, we will be brought to Jesus as the bridegroom? Not the whole church is going to experience that. We have seen that over and over, and Scripture bears it out quickly. But as these sons of God who learn from the Father, those lessons will bring us to that place where we come unto him as being the bridegroom. Here in Luke 10, we read it this way, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy. We remember the story of Jesus sending out the 70 two by two. They have returned now, and they have returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Here's another place where we see in Jesus' life, and the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things. What Jesus says here will not happen unto the middle of the tribulation period. Satan is still in heaven right now. Don't ever get the idea, well, he's down there in hell and all of these. No, he's not. Satan is the prince and power of the world. Satan is the god of this world. He is very active. He is well and alive today. But what Jesus is talking about, in the middle of the tribulation period, Satan will be cast out of heaven. And so Satan is lightning cast from heaven, did fall from heaven. Verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Even though Satan is still there, Jesus is telling the disciples, you have power over him right now. That doesn't mean, as we have seen before, that some people say you can bind Satan. No, you can't. Even Jesus didn't bind him. That won't happen until Jesus binds him for 1,000 years and puts him in the bottomless pit. But we can have absolute victory over him. He does not need to, there's no need for him to intimidate or oppress or take us into bondage. I've given you power over him, says Jesus. And that is a wonderful lesson to learn. That is glorious. There are many that enlarge on such things, and they are scriptural. But what we want to understand in this message is there is something even greater than that. People might think, good heavens, what can be greater than that? He tells us, verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I want to emphasize Jesus is not simply teaching the new birth. Since your names are written in heaven, it gives you access unto all of the wonderful provisions that God has, but so many people fail to lay hold of them. So many people never enjoy the fullness of this great benefit that they are the benefactor of the God who is in heaven, the ruler of the universe. As Jesus said, I ascend to my Father, your Father. I want you to lay hold of all of those provisions that result from your name being written in heaven as a child and indeed the Son of God. Verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father. I want to connect these glorious provisions once again with the fatherhood of God. He has said all of these wonderful things, the victories that you have in verse 19. Don't simply rejoice in that, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And then, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. We are talking about the same learning experience that Jesus went through. The Father loves the Son and shows him all things. This is connected to exact the same, it's the same pattern, it's the same line of thought. And we read here, the Father hath revealed. All shall be taught of God, as we read, as we saw there in the fifth chapter, or the sixth chapter rather, of 645 of John. It is the Father who reveals. It is the Father who teaches. And so I thank thee, Father, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, but has revealed them unto babes. Let us not be confused. Jesus is not talking about babes in growth and experience. He's talking about babes in attitude. The word babe literally means a simple-minded person. It is to be contrasted with the wise and prudent. We must become a babe in our attitude, simple-minded, just to receive these glorious things from God. We're not the great brain powers and sources that can reason out anything. No. We are those who are simple-minded enough just to accept by faith what God says, and He will make us to understand. He will reveal these wonderful truths and revelations and mysteries unto our hearts. This is talking about the simplicity. And again, I use the word simplicity. That simplicity will give way to the deepest revelations of truth in the Scripture. I remember in my own life, there was a certain truth I was having great trouble with. I couldn't understand the two creations, which is the key to eternal life, the key to understanding the full blessing and growth of God's people. I couldn't understand it. And there were those who were trying to teach things other than what I had, contrary to what I had already been taught. I remember going out into the field and just looking up with no one else around and saying, Lord, you know the truth and you can show it to me. And He did. And He will for anyone who is simple-minded enough just to believe Him. And so, fact is, the Father reveals these things to us today. And so today, in closing this message, let us simply follow Jesus' example, learning firsthand the wonderful truth. I ascend to my Father and your Father. Let us understand. Yes, He can be my Father. It's not assuming too much by any stretch of the imagination. He is my Father. shall we sing.